The Reverend Dr. James Forbes, Jr. is Senior Minister Emeritus of the Riverside Church in New York City. For many decades, he has been a leading voice for civil rights as well as spiritual awakening in our nation. It's likely that Reverend Forbes is as busy now as he's ever been, which is why I'm grateful to be able to welcome him back to State of Belief Radio. Jim, thanks for being with us again.
And good to be with you always.
Listen, I've been very eager for the chance to talk with you about the profound changes that we've seen in our national leadership. How have you been addressing the policies of this new administration?
My primary focus has been that while we are aware of the transformation in our own nation, we've got a global problem. And it feels almost as if our current crisis reminds us that we're in the midst of spiritual warfare. Now, what do I mean by that? I simply mean that there has always been the forces that work for domination in the world. And then there is, within our religious traditions, the concern about a domination-free society. Well, I've tended to look at our current crisis in the light of those forces, and we've got a tug of war between the forces that are committed to freedom, to justice, respect, mutuality of respect for all people, to those forces that are interested in compassion and truth, those forces that are interested in care for the vulnerable, those forces that are eager to maintain respect for the very context of our world, the environment, and for people of different faiths and traditions. That's one side. But there seems to be strong forces centered around self-interest, power-seeking, that are prepared to function out of the myth of redemptive violence and that are prepared to be aggressive in garnering resources and power in a particular direction, excluding others. Mm-hmm. That's a tug of war. And so I have tended not to be, as it were, pulled down into partisan wrangling or either into personality vilifications, as much as to say, man, are we in a real warfare situation, and we need to at least figure out which side we're on in the distinction between domination forces and domination systems versus domination-free orders of the world.
How concerned are you about the racist overtones of so much of the rhetoric that we heard from supporters of this president, both before and since the election?
It is very serious that people do not know how deeply impacted we all are by the evil, and I call it even demonic, system of racistic thinking. Xenophobia is so strong, but the fact is it's been brought forth to the surface. And now there is the legitimization of the expression of racist attitudes that we wonder what will be the difference. When it was undercover, it was bad enough. Yeah. Now that it's out in the open, how perilous is the path ahead of us if we are trying to be a democratic society? Mm-hmm. So I really think that political games and policies notwithstanding, the whole spirit that legitimizes separation, alienation on account of race, that's a deadly disease. Mm-hmm. There are signs that it could be taking on epidemic proportions in some communities. I'm very happy that this is making clear for some people that they want to disavow racist thinking and behavior. It's making some folks freer, but I think maybe it's also freeing up some people to say no, 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 as was the case in the Netherlands, where it feels like what's happening in America has made people say, well, you know, I know I've had some problems, but I don't want to be in that negative group that seems to be flourishing in the American context.
Jim, you are traveling and speaking more than ever. Tell us what you've been doing in partnership with other leaders concerned about the direction we're headed in.
Well, I was with Reverend Barber and the Repairers of the Breach. We preached together in over 20 different states. The reality is that in every place we have gone, we have gathered interfaith partners who really made it feel like we were mostly preaching to the choir. Mm-hmm. That is to say, maybe I should celebrate that interracial and interfaith conversations are possible, and that where people gather, they seem to be happy that they can take a stand for our being the beloved community. I've been very much happy that we've had live streaming of our program. I've been very sorry that the press has not generally been able to consider the gatherings, which we thought were quite remarkable, as newsworthy. So I'm glad that the choir is singing better. I'm sorry that the culture is not as eager to hear an alternative narrative to the one that is being proposed in much of the campaign rhetoric of the past and now the new administrative perspective. And I think there is real anxiety that we may be going down a cliff.
Yeah.
Environmentally, we may be reaching the what they call the point of no return in regards to the possibility of warfare and even the imagining of nuclear warfare. There's real anxiety in terms of the destabilization that seems to be the pattern that has been seized as the profile of the new administration. So there's great anxiety all across the country when I go, and people are crossing their fingers, and if they could, they'd cross their toes that we will not be led down an avalanche of destruction in the current spirit that seems to be embracing much of the country.
Knowing how you perceive the national spirit and how you've perceived it for a long time, how do you see it today, and is there a time in our history that it reminds you of?
Well, the reality is that we are in the advanced stage of secularization, and that is the fascinating thing to be aware of. That is, the things that are happening could not really have happened if we were paying attention to what was the design and the desire of the Creator for the way we relate to each other as people and the way we relate to the environment itself. These things could not happen if we even took time to consult what would God's will be for how we structure our life together, political policies we make, economic distribution, how we do conflict avoidance, or either how we do conflict resolution. And I'm very much aware that we have abandoned that natural sense of accountability to the God of creation and to our responsibility to each other and to our call to show concern for the common good. Now, that sounds like we are at the point where we need another great awakening. So you ask me, what does it remind me of? The conditions that existed before the first, second, and third awakenings, great awakenings in this nation, where things had started to come unraveled, where the social contract had somehow gotten completely flawed and tattered, where people did not have common values, where they did not have hopes together. Those conditions are with us now. So if you could predict that God is merciful, and just as God responded when things started coming unraveled, unglued, that the great God will now say, I really must give spiritual revitalization on a large scale to the nation. Well, I believe we are right back at such a point where we qualify. So my prayer every day is, Lord, look upon us. They needed it just before the Revolutionary War. They needed it in the days of abolition. They needed it in the days of the social changes that needed to take place under the days of the social gospel. Won't you pour out your spirit on us now? I mean, all of let's start the fires of revitalization burning again. Otherwise, we don't know what's going to happen to our wonderful nation.
You know, conscientious citizens are, to a large extent, being overwhelmed by what's going on. There's so many demands. How would you advise someone who is feeling overwhelmed to decide where to focus their activism and efforts so as to have the greatest amount of impact on the future?
You know, I would first of all say, I do think that if the revival is coming, it needs to start with individuals. So, you know, when I get up in the morning, I pray, Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me as I move throughout this day. May your promptings deep inside me show me what to do and say. In the power of your presence, strength and courage will increase. In the wisdom of your guidance is the path that leads to peace. And then after that, then I think we all have to do some fresh visioning. We see the world as it is. How would God want it to be? So that I think we need to be with friends who can do some fresh visioning, friends who can talk together about what's wrong with the way things are and what would look more right than it is now. And then after that, we need to be with an action group, because there's nothing like that inspiration. When you see what's wrong, and if you don't get up and do something about it, then pretty soon the wrong conditions become the new normal, and we become adjusted to it. I think Dr. King talked about maladjustment. We need some maladjusted people for whom the present trends are not in the direction of life, but rather in the direction of death. So everybody needs to pray, then everybody needs to think, and everybody needs to do some visioning, but everybody needs to do some acting. And if you can't act in a massive way, do some small things. Wherever you see somebody that's needful, help if you can. Start speaking to folks you didn't used to speak to. Wherever you see things going along, learn to throw down the flag like we do on the football field when there's a violation. We need to say, that's wrong. And we need to recognize that probably to be a person of faith requires you to allow your witness to be positive when it needs to be positive, but to be shrill when it needs to be shrill, and try to do it all without becoming violent, because the world is already too violent, and that violent approaches to resolving the problems are likely to exacerbate the problem rather than to help solve it. That kind of thing, and then pray for peace. And then if you got a little song to sing, keep a song of hope in your heart, even as you see the things coming unglued that used to hold us together.
The Reverend Dr. James Forbes, Jr. is Senior Minister Emeritus of the Riverside Church in New York City. Reverend Forbes continues to make a profound contribution to the well-being of our society and our nation. Jim, I am so glad to be with you again and benefit from your wisdom. I really appreciate you taking time to be with us again on State of Belief Radio.
And thanks for the opportunity to share some thoughts.